The ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court came out yesterday, upholding the agreement that prevents employees from filing class action lawsuits for legal claims. And let's talk about that and what it might mean to us. David Knoll is here. He is the associate professor of law at Rutgers University. Good morning, David.
Morning. How are you?
I am well, sir. When I first read about the ruling yesterday, my first automatic thought was, well, that protects employers, not employees. Is that accurate?
Yes, it's a decision that favors employers. And the specific question the court was looking at was whether an employer can include a provision in their employment agreement that says that all legal disputes have to be arbitrated on an individual basis, as opposed to on a group basis or taken to court. And the court said that that kind of provision is enforceable.
Yeah, so arbitration, which, let's face it, is generally far less expensive for employers than going to court over an issue, correct?
Right. One of the arguments for arbitration is that there's less process involved, it's faster, it costs less money, and employers always cite that as one of the reasons why they include these kinds of provisions in employment contracts.
And what's the advantage of being able to file a class action suit against your employer?
So there's a couple things. One is that cases that are filed in court are generally public. And so if you start worrying about companies where there's a pattern or practice of violating the law, it can be beneficial to plaintiffs and to lawyers representing them if those proceedings are in public. Be represented in a class action, they can share the costs of a lawsuit, which sometimes are quite considerable.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you're in a one-on-one arbitration, right, the individual employee has to pay for the entire cost of that litigation, and it has a big effect on what kind of claims can be brought and the expense of litigating them.
And also with a class action lawsuit, I would imagine, David, that it you know, automatically brings more weight to whatever the claim is when you've got a ton of people saying the same thing.
That's right. It just magnifies what's at stake in the proceedings. And so from a plaintiff's perspective, it's nice to be able to proceed on a class basis because you're collecting all of the employees who are affected by a practice and asserting their claims all at once, which increases the settlement value of the case and gives you more leverage in settlement discussions with the defendant.
I think that most of us, if not the majority of us, actually have signed those arbitration agreements when we sign on to a particular company or other. Some people...
I guarantee it. If you look in the terms and conditions, you've signed hundreds of arbitration agreements.
You've signed them. Some people are wondering about this ruling as it regards the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. Will it make it more difficult for people who are feeling harassed in some way to get a benefit, some sort of, reasonable answer at the end of it?
Yeah, I think there's a real concern there. I mean, one of the things that Me Too has shed a light on is how powerful actors have used contracts to insulate themselves from liability for wrongdoing. Non-disclosure agreements are the chief provision there, but non-disclosure agreements and arbitration provisions can work hand in hand to isolate someone who is the victim of sexual assault or sexual harassment and make it more difficult to obtain redress.
What are the circumstances, David, for a circumstance to override the arbitration agreement? Are there any?
So the first thing that you're going to see workers advocates pushing for is that arbitration is always a matter of contract. So we recently saw Uber drop its reliance on arbitration when riders bring claims of sexual assault. So there's going to be social pressure on companies to waive these provisions or not use them. Microsoft is another example of a company that has voluntarily given up arbitration. But in terms of the legal response to the court's decision, it's basically going to take an act of Congress to change the rules governing arbitration in the workforce. So, there's a conversation about the election and what Congress is going to look like in a couple of years. But we're basically in a situation where the next step is going to come from Congress.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal. And obviously, the makeup of the Supreme Court as it hands down rulings like it did yesterday on the arbitration issue, a lot of people taking a look at that, too.
Yeah, it was a closely decided decision. I mean, it was 5-4 with Justice Gorsuch, the newest justice, writing for the majority. There's a, you know, there's a pretty strong argument that that if Judge Garland had been confirmed to the Supreme Court, the case would have come out the other way. But it was a hard case. It involved the interaction of two old statutes and required the court to sort out how they work together. And I guess I would say it's not entirely certain how it would have come out if the court had different justices on it.
Well, we'll see. We will see, I'm sure, in terms of this ruling being tested. I know somebody will, you know, try to test it, and no doubt more than one.
That's right. And even the majority opinion acknowledged that this was a contested issue that Congress might want to take up. So I don't think that this is the last word on the subject of employment arbitration.
Is it ever the last word on an issue like this, David?
No, that's what makes this country great, is that we're always fighting about it.
That's right. That's right. Certainly keeps it all alive for us.
Yeah.
David, thanks so much for being with us this morning. Appreciate that.
Thanks for having me on.
That is David Knoll, Associate Professor of Law at Rutgers University, talking about the arbitration ruling by the Supreme Court yesterday.